Well, turn to 1 Kings chapter number 3. 1 Kings chapter number 3. It's been a blessing to be with you. The verse that comes to my mind, two verses come to my mind if I would describe the week for us. One is the verse in the New Testament that talks about a man by the name of Onesiphorus. And the Bible talks about Onesiphorus, and Paul said that the house of Onesiphorus has oft refreshed me. How many of you are not part of Fairhaven Baptist Church, but you would say you have been refreshed this week?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It reminds me of David in the Old Testament when he'd gone through some difficult battles and times and distresses. It says of him, and David went on. I like that phrase. And David went on. I'd like to thank the Fairhaven Baptist Church, the staff, for the time that you have poured into the preparation of this week. You have no idea the difference that you've made and the men and women that you've refreshed and kept going and edified and built up and encouraged. And I just want to say a big thank you. If you would like to say that with me, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We thank you all for your graciousness, your kindness, your friendship, your friendliness. I was talking to one pastor at lunch today. And I think there was a Fairhaven staff member there, and he said, thank you for accepting me. I didn't graduate from here, but I love the Lord, and I've been coming, and thank you just for accepting me and allowing me to come and be blessed. And I think that the people here would feel that have joined us this week. Well, we're in a conference about the family, and so I would like to recognize engaged couples in the college tonight, because these are new families that are about to begin, right? And so if you are an engaged couple, would you please stand? Oh, yes. So good. Good. Are there any other engaged couples? All right. So we have, let's see. Give me your names again. Austin and Katie, and Cooper, and Sabrina. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else on? Oh, we got somebody pointing over here. Yes, sir. There we go. All right. Honesty, honesty. Boy, we're getting it. Go ahead, sir. Caleb and Joanna. All right. And when were you engaged? June of last year. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, you may be seated tonight. I just wanted to give you some advice about marriage. Jimmy was sent to prison for his crimes, but he told the warden he wasn't worried at all about serving his full term. The warden asked him why, since most prisoners immediately start planning how they can get out early. And Jimmy replied and said, well, my wife has never let me finish a sentence the whole time I've been married. I would like to send you a warning tonight. Some marriages are made in heaven, but so are thunder and lightning. And so please beware. I would like to give you some advice from Benjamin Franklin tonight about marriage. Keep your eyes wide open before marriage and half shut afterwards. A good marriage would be between a blind wife and a deaf husband. And then, marriage is like a twirling baton, handstands, or eating with chopsticks. It looks easy until you try it. How many of you would say, I'm a college student here and I wish I was engaged? We don't have anybody that wants to be married? Brandon raised his hand. I didn't see that. We're actually paying to get Brandon out of the house. So ladies, if you need some cash. Where is Abraham? Oh. Pastor Lewis sent me a subliminal message that I had to figure out tonight. And you know, in those crossword puzzle books, I know many of you don't do those anymore. I still do once in a while. They have numbers, and you have to figure out what letter for each number. And so Pastor Lewis coordinated all this, and I'm trying to figure this out. And it says, let me read carefully. Rings, this is for Abraham. Rings are on sale. www.kjewelers.com. Just, you can talk to your pastor about that after the service. You know, if engagement happened this week, that would just be a blessing. I mean, we could celebrate the family conference that way. So I kind of want to switch gears here. There are, I don't know about other pastors, but when you come to a conference, many times you're coming embattled. And then sometimes as a layman, as a husband or wife, a parent, you come embattled. You're in the midst of battle. And I told our staff in our church back in January, I said in prayer, I said, I don't know, but there's something amiss at our church. And I don't know what it is, but I said, I know that God's dealing with me about preaching on sin. And preached that message on a Sunday morning. Well, the next 3 or 4 weeks, some things came to the surface. God answered our prayers and showed mercy. And some things came to the surface. Brother Samples was coming last week. He called me a couple weeks before. He said, preacher, is there anything that you need addressed or you want me to preach on? I said, no. I said, thank the Lord, some things have come out, but I'm not sure all of it's out. I don't know. And we had revival meetings last week, and things more came out. And I just knew that God was fighting for us. And the military name of God in the Old Testament is the Lord of Hosts. And in Psalm 46, the Bible tells us to dwell on that thought that the Lord of Hosts, the God of Jacob, is with us, Selah. I'd like to have your heads bowed, your eyes closed. An unusual way to start tonight and really kind of has nothing to do with the message I'm preaching. But I wonder if you're a pastor here, you're an assistant pastor, you're in the ministry in some way, and you would say, preacher, I am embattled. There are some battles that I am dealing with back home. And I can relate to what you said, that I came with a heavy heart about some things. There are burdens, there are things that I need wisdom on. There are things that I need God to fight on our behalf. You would say, I came that week, preacher. I'm just raising my hand to identify with that. In my church, in my life, in my family, somewhere, I am dealing with battles. Would you raise your hand across this building? That's nothing to be ashamed of. We are soldiers. We deal with battles. Keep your hands raised. You're a layman here. You serve in a local church somewhere. Maybe here at Fairhaven, maybe somewhere else. You would say, preacher, I'm not in full-time ministry in any way, but I love the Lord. And that doesn't, because I'm in full-time ministry, doesn't mean that I don't face battles. I am facing a battle in my soul about something. I'm burdened about something. How many of you would raise your hand in agreement with the full-time workers in this building? You would say, I'm a layman. I love God, but I'm living with battles. There are battles that I am dealing with. I would like to pray over this group tonight to the Lord of Hosts, that He would fight battles for us. Father, I thank You, Lord, that, Lord, we don't go into battle alone. God, we don't always have all the weapons to know what to do. And Lord, sometimes there is nothing that we really can do. But Lord, we're comforted tonight that the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. And Lord, the Lord of Hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. And Lord, You tell us to park there, pause there, meditate on that, grab a hold of that truth. And Lord, You help us. I pray for the layman. I pray for the full-time ministers here, Lord. I pray for ladies and men alike and young people that are dealing with battles. Dear God, may they see the Lord of Hosts come upon the scene. Lord, like You did that one night and the angel of the Lord came and slew 185,000 in a night. Oh God, may there be testimonies in the days and weeks to come that the Lord has won victory I pray over these special needs, unknown needs to me, Lord, but very specific needs in the hearts of people that love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, a reputation is something that I want, but I want a good reputation, a good name. I was reading in Proverbs 22, verse number 1 this morning, and the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than gold. A good name is something that I want. There are some reputations in Scripture that I have found that I do not want. I do not want the reputation of a man by the name of Demas, who the Bible says, having loved this present world, departed. I don't really want that reputation. I don't want the reputation of a man by the name of Diotrephes, who the Bible says, loved to have preeminence and received not the brethren. Not really a reputation that I want attached to my tombstone or to my name. There's a man in 1 Samuel 25 by the name of Nabal. The Bible says of Nabal that he was a churlish man. He was a cruel man, the Bible says. The word there means he was a severe man. It's not a reputation that I want in my life. There's a man by the name of Eli in the Scriptures who, when referring to his sons, the Bible says he restrained them not. That's not a reputation that I want attached to my name. And there's another reputation I don't want attached to my name. In 1 Kings chapter number 3 and verse number 3. A man by the name of Solomon, who at one time loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. I want to preach on this thought tonight, high places in the family. High places in the family. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for, Lord, the precious word of God. I remember, Lord, in Samuel's days, there's a verse that says, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. God, make it precious to us. Lord, Dr. Sorensen has really emphasized that this week, the effect of the word of God upon a heart. Oh, God, revive our hunger and appetite and desire for it. God, I pray that you give us spiritual understanding tonight. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would take the truths that we'll explain from God's Word. And Lord, I pray that he'll bring them home to the heart very, very specifically. Because, Lord, we know that your Spirit, when he works specifically. Would you do that in our midst? God, give us teachable hearts tonight. Meet with us. And Lord, if there's a high place that needs removed, God, give us courage to act. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship in the Old Testament was to be done at Jerusalem. We know that God had the temple built there, and he set up worship for people to come to Jerusalem and to worship together and to worship their God. When we get into the Kings, we get into a man by the name of Solomon, whom we know mostly for being the wisest man that ever lived. When he had the opportunity to ask for something, he asked for wisdom. But later on in Solomon's life, Solomon traded wisdom for some relationships that affected his life in a great way. In fact, in 1 Kings chapter number 3, verse number 3, the Bible uses an exception phrase to describe something that was, watch this, a sore thumb or stuck out like a dislocated thumb in his life. It says in verse number 3, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. He loved the Lord. He walked in the statutes of David his father. But there was an exception. And the exception was that he burnt incense and he worshiped in the high places. That phrase is a repeated phrase throughout the books of 1 and 2 Kings. When I was over in Israel with Pastor Vogelin a number of years ago, I think 6 years ago now, we went to Dan and we saw where Jeroboam put up one of the altars with the calf to encourage the 10 northern tribes of Israel not to go down to Jerusalem, but let's have more convenient worship, and you just come to Dan, and we'll worship here. It was a high place. I wonder where Jeroboam got the idea of a high place. Well, Solomon was before Jeroboam, wasn't he? Solomon was king over all Israel, and Solomon began to build the high places. Now, Jeroboam carried that on. What's interesting is Jeroboam reigned about 930 B.C., and the high places are not removed until 640 B.C., 290 years. Israel got used to high places. Now, may I say tonight that there are, I believe, Christians that could have the same biography that Solomon has in his life. He loved God. He walked after the statutes of David. Only he sacrificed on the high places. And dear Christian, may I warn you tonight, it is sad when we get comfortable with high places. When we allow high places to exist in our lives. Features of a typical high place included standing stones, memorial stones, altars for sacrifice, and burning incense, cult objects, and images for worship. In 2 Kings chapter 21, verse number 1, it speaks of Manasseh reigning 55 years in Jerusalem. And the sad thing is there was high places that were removed at one point in time. But Manasseh, the Bible says in verse number 3, for he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. Did you know that you can remove a high place and build it up again? It happened in Jerusalem. It happened under King Manasseh. In the second year of Joash, son of Jehoash, king of Israel, reigned Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign. And the Bible says, howbeit, the high places were not taken away. Now, what's interesting to me in the study of the kings is this. Boy, God could have recorded a lot of things by the inspiration of the Spirit about these kings. I mean, 20 years of reigning, you would think that maybe God could put some other things in there. But some of these kings had two or three verses about them in all of the Bible. And one of the verses that he used to describe their lives was, they removed not the high places. That's amazing to me. God takes note when there are high places in our lives. I want to give you tonight three simple points. As we look at high places in the family, I want you to, first of all, if you're taking notes tonight, write this thought down. The reason for the high places. The reason for the high places. I want you in your notes to write this down. The high places are compromises made to satisfy others. Let me say it again. The high places, the reason we give ourselves to the high places is because we have a temptation in our lives to satisfy others. You say, preacher, where do you get that? Turn over to 1 Kings chapter 5. 1 Kings chapter number 5. It's speaking about Solomon and the man that loved God and the man that was the wisest man in all the world. It's amazing what I read in 1 Kings chapter 11. The Bible says, for Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. Wait, I just read back in 1 Kings chapter 3 that he loved the Lord. And yet he's doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And went not fully after the Lord as David his father. And then I want you to see that, and likewise in verse number 8, did he for all his strange wives. Do you see that little phrase, for all his strange wives? He went after these gods and he built the high places because he wanted to satisfy, watch this, family. Family. That's a powerful influence upon our lives, isn't it? I have known Christians over the years that A family reunion takes place on Sunday during church service, and they compromise to attend the family reunion and ignore God's place of worship. Brother and family becomes a high place when that takes place. Becomes a high place. To make peace, we become silent on something that is wrong in the family. We tolerate it. We adopt it. I have watched over the years parents worship their children. And then when something goes wrong and the child faces rebuke or discipline in some form, or the child is not following God and somebody else has to deal with that child, parents leave a Bible-believing church for a weaker church. A high place where Bible preaching is not as strong, where little to no spiritual impact can be made because we worship our children. It's a high place. Solomon had the same fatal flaw. He compromised in order to satisfy family. The high place is one thing that is adopted as a result of compromise. Be careful not to worship your children. Amen. Love your children. But remember, they are sinners. They are going to sin. Don't lift them up like the calf and worship them. Pray for them, by all means. By all means, invest in them. But don't go around talking about how great your kids are. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. We make high places out of our family. High places leave us straddling the fence. In 1 Kings 11:6, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Notice it doesn't say that he didn't do anything about going after the Lord, but that word fully is a very interesting word. It means he was no longer completely following. He was straddling. That's what high places do in our lives. They cause us to straddle. They cause us to not fully follow after the Lord. In 1 Kings chapter 12, if you look over there, Jeroboam built the high places. They are not only compromises where we seek to satisfy others. Secondly, high places are choices where we make a statement, I will worship or serve God on my terms. Jeroboam, he took counsel in verse 28 of 1 Kings chapter 12 and made two calves of gold. And he said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem and behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel and the other he put in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places and made priests of the lowest people, which were not of the sons of Levi. He even ordained his own feast to substitute for the feast that was to be done unto the Lord, if you read on in verse number 32. Alternative forms of worship are things that we latch on to and we make a choice about them. And when we do, what we're saying is this: God, I'm coming to you on my terms. By the way, our Baptist churches in America, our independent Baptist churches, are doing it all over in the area of music. We'll come to God on our terms. We'll come to God and bring to God what we like, what makes us feel good. High places are being built today. Can I remind you that worship is revealed by whatever someone touches in your life that makes you upset? Me and my son were talking this week, reflecting back on a time where I came down on him fairly hard and implemented a form of discipline in his life. And we talked about it later. It was for a period of time. And I remember when it was over, I remember him coming to me and saying, Dad, thank you for doing that. Because what you brought into my life, I realized how upset I got about it, and I realized it was an idol. And it was something else that I was worshiping in my life. I'm not maybe saying it verbatim to what he told me, but I'm very close to what he said to me about that. And I want to remind you tonight that no man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I'm in the midst of trying to figure out how our hearts are becoming cold towards God's word. How people can walk out of church and never be touched by God's word or God's spirit. God's people. People that have the same spirit of God in their life and their heart that I have in my life. And I read that verse, he will hold to the one and despise the other. And I thought it must be that there are things in our hearts that we allow to become high places, that substitute happiness in our lives for holiness. Will you allow me to meddle tonight and just deal with some things that I think are affecting us? I think they're affecting adults. I think they're affecting young people. I think one of the areas that we're dealing with is the entertainment industry. I want to be transparent with the young people. When I came out of college, I wasn't as strong as I should have been. And I would rent a movie, watch a movie from time to time. And I remember the time that God dealt with me on that and said, you know, if you're separating yourself unto me, and by the way, I'm not just talking about in ministry, I'm talking about personal holiness. If you're separating yourself unto me, then these things cannot be something that you hold on to, or you're going to despise me and my word. I remember the day that I talked to my wife about that, and I said, honey, I don't think we're doing this right. I think we need to get rid of this activity in our lives. And I know sometimes, well, I just need to relax. There are different ways to relax. Pick up a Sudoku puzzle. Instead of, watch this, letting Hollywood, which is the very enemy of God, take your time and influence your life and breathe their philosophies and their language and their scenes, my friend. And I wonder if entertainment in your life, on your phone, in your free time, has become a high place. A high place. Solomon loved the Lord. He walked after the statutes. Only, he removed not the high place. And may I say, between cell phones and tablets and iPads and computers, my word, you have access to it everywhere. Our kids have access to more free movies today than there's ever been in the history of our country. They can click, they can go to YouTube and watch a two-hour movie if they want. Young people, may I speak to your hearts tonight? Would you consider something? Would you consider saying this, God, I love you enough. In fact, God, I love you more than, Lord, allowing these things to take up all the time that they're taking up in my life. God, I don't want it to be a high place. And God, I don't want it to be something to where I am despising that which you're trying to get to me, because over here I am holding on to something that I worship. I want to instruct you tonight, high places are hard to bring down. Would you consider that tonight? Would you? You know what? That time can be replaced with a lot more productive time. Amen. I'm not trying to hurt anybody tonight. I'm saying God's called us to be a holy people. Amen. And if we're going to be in tune and come to church services with open and teachable hearts, we can't be polluting them all week with things that Hollywood is producing. And watch this, that's what the heathen worship. Right. On the weekends, that's what they spend their time doing. We're Christians. Amen. There's a difference. Amen. There's a difference. Worshiping God on my terms. For men, I believe one of the issues of the heart that we deal with, I know I deal with, is satisfaction of self. I worship self. We get what we want. I think of this, I look at a book. I like that book in the bookstore. I'm going to get that book. Well, what about the need of my wife? Well, I'm going to get that book. What about the needs of my kids? Well, I'm going to get that book. I like that gun. Fill it in. Gentlemen, the Bible teaches us that we nourish ourselves pretty well. Selfishness can be a high place in a man's life. Today, the high places are counterparts of secret sin. Turn over your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 17 as we look at the reason for high places tonight. 2 Kings chapter number 17. Not only are they compromises to satisfy others, not only are there choices where we make a statement that I'll worship or serve God on my terms, and many times we're serving two masters, but I want you to see tonight that high places are counterparts of secret sin. The Bible says in verse number 9, and the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. Did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. I want you to know, things happen in Messenger and Skype and WhatsApp, Snapchat, that should never happen. Amen. There are many backdoor accesses to your soul tonight. It comes in the back door. And it comes in where nobody knows about it. Years ago, I was working with a young person in my church, and there were some problems. You can tell on a countenance of a face when there's problems. Can't always fix it right away, but you know there's problems. I noticed this young person was coming, and I call it the hollow look at church. You ever seen that parent? That tells the story. Come to find out, this young man went out to lunch with me, sat across the table from me, and said, "Preacher, I'm in deep trouble." He says, "I'm into pornography." Began to ask some questions. He said, "Pastor, I'm so bold with it that my mom sits on one end of the couch. I sit on the other end of the couch with the computer facing me looking at pornography, hiding it from my parents." I want you to know there comes a guilt load with that high place. I want you to know that high place, if it continues, my friend, listen to me carefully tonight, men, young men, listen to me carefully tonight. If it continues, it is not a stagnant sin. I have dealt with things behind closed doors with men that I could never bring in public because it does not stay stagnant. High places do not stay stagnant. The Bible says they built high places, and notice it's associated with those things that they did secretly that were not right against the Lord their God. High places of activity. I'm talking to couples tonight. I'm talking to courting couples. I would echo what Brother Armacost said. The last time I looked at the word touch in the Bible, it meant touch. Amen. It is not good for a man to touch a woman. There are spring breaks. There are summer breaks. Don't be alone. Don't erect a high place. Come on. I'm just speaking from, I've worked with people, staff here have worked with people for 20 years. You never cross bridges unless you take the little steps. Could be that there's a couple here tonight, and I didn't ask the engaged couples to stand for this purpose, okay? But it could be that there's a couple somewhere tonight that's doing some things behind the scenes. And by the way, it doesn't have to be physical either. Today, you got texting.
Yeah, come on. Right? Come on.
That you can send bad things that will corrupt the mind of the other with a simple text.
That's right.
part of their secret life is building the high place. I wonder if there's a secret life. Online gambling is growing at an ever alarming pace. Secret high places develop as young people plan out a way to circumvent parental and pastoral authority in the development of a relationship. My, oh my, oh my. Can I speak to you tonight? Can I talk to you tonight? Young people, don't circumvent your parents. Don't circumvent pastoral authority in your life. In the second biggest decision of your life that will affect your life for years to come, don't circumvent those things. Work through those authorities, those protections, those things that will preserve you, those umbrellas that God has put in your life. Don't break those hedges of protection.
Amen.
A secret friend in the mix that's causing you to err from the words of knowledge. A sinful high place is any area, thought, person, or relationship that I allow to remain in my life and is a provision for my flesh. We desire, we demand, we judge and reason it out that it's okay. And then watch this, listen carefully. We punish anybody that touches it. Don't touch it. Don't touch my high place. High places are counterparts to secret sin in our lives. See it in the scriptures. What idols are you building in your life? Wonder if you're building a high place, a wrong relationship, which can be spiritual poison. I wonder if you're building an idol of excessiveness in your life. I want to remind you tonight that when you construct a high place, I want you to see, secondly, not only the reason of the high place, but I want you to see the retaining of the high places. First, we tolerate. Then we participate. Then we propagate. Look at 2 Kings 17, if you will, verse number 41. 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse number 41. Bible says, so these nations feared the Lord. I believe that was at times. I believe that maybe the Lord tried to wake them up in services and scriptures like we're looking at tonight. But it says, and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children. As did their fathers, so do they unto this day. I want you to understand that these high places were not removed, but rather they were passed down generation to generation. Watch this, because somebody didn't take courage to remove them. Young people tonight, I want you to fast forward your life 20 years. Some of you are 20, 22 years old. Some are 18, 16. You're raising children now. You get a child in your house and you feel the huge responsibility the first day that you hold that baby. Brother Courtney, am I right?
Yes, sir.
Just had a baby 3 weeks ago. There is a huge responsibility and weight that you feel upon your shoulders for the children that God gives you. And you had chances to remove some high places at 16, 18, 20, 22, 24 years old, but you didn't. They're still with you. Your kids are 10 and 12 and 14, and they're growing, and guess what? There's good chance that your high places become their high places. And your children's children. Would you just look ahead tonight? Would you understand that now is the time to remove the high place? In 1 Kings 15, 14, the Bible says, but the high places were not removed. In 2 Kings 12, 3, the Bible says, but the high places were not taken away. In 2 Kings 14, verse number 4, as we go king after king over Israel, the Bible says, howbeit the high places were not taken away. In 2 Kings chapter 15 and verse number 4, save that the high places were not removed. In 2 Kings 15 and verse number 35, howbeit the high places were not removed. In 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse number 43, the Bible says, nevertheless, the high places were not taken away. They were untouchable. There were kings that did good in other areas, but they wouldn't touch the high place. The high places were habitual. The high places were kept because of unprepared hearts, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse number 33. Howbeit, the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. I want you to know that your high place, listen to me, in your life, your high place will keep you from having a heart prepared that God can touch at any time. Because they didn't remove them. There was no preparation of the heart to get what God had for them. And my friend, when we go days and weeks and months, yea, years without God getting to where He needs to get to, we're going to face some big trouble. The high places were progressive. In 1 Kings 14, verse 23, for they also built them high places and images and groves. Notice the plurals, high places and images and groves on every high hill under every green tree. My friend, if you've erected a high place, beware, another one's about ready to be built. You won't deal with it. You continue to push it under the table, so to speak. You continue to ignore it. You continue to say, I can coexist with it. Be reminded tonight, the high places are progressive. Bible says in Psalm 78, verse 58, for they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. I want you to understand tonight, one of the character qualities of God is He's a jealous God. And when it comes to high places that believers, His people, allow in their lives, God says it provokes me to anger and it stirs me to jealousy. Something that has become above God. Sports was that for me in high school. I love sports. Played football, played basketball. Loved sports. Spent hours upon hours. If there was free time, watch this. If there was free time, it's what I ran to first. That, my friend, will help you to identify what's important to you. Sports is fine in its place. But it became a high place. You know what God did? He took it away from me. I'm thankful that He did. It was painful. It was physically painful. It was spiritually painful. But He dealt with me on it. I want you to see as I close tonight the removal of the high places. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 18. Well, it's interesting to me that in the kings that didn't remove them, He recognized that. Sometimes very short biographies of the kings, but one of those sentences was, howbeit, He removed not the high place, or howbeit, He built the high place. But I also want you to know that God sees when we remove them. In 2 Kings chapter 18, the Bible says, in verse number 1, it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. Verse number 3, and he did that which is right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. And he removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. Unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. Huh. Hezekiah was known for removing the high places. I told you at the beginning of the message, there's some reputations in Scripture that I do not want. I do not want the reputation of Demas. I do not want the reputation of Nabal. I do not want the reputation of Diotrephes. I do not want the reputation of Solomon. Only he built up the high places. I'll tell you this, in God's eyes and God's view of me, I do want the reputation of Hezekiah. Amen. That he removed the high place. Amen. I have been in many weeks of meetings in my lifetime, and I have been in some wonderful weeks of meetings. The weeks of meetings come to a point where it seems each night there's an intensity that grows spiritually. I have sensed that in this week. I don't know if you have, but I personally have sensed that in my own heart under Dr. Sorensen's preaching and teaching and the other ones that have brought teaching to help us. I have felt the intensity of the work of God get to tonight. But I will tell you this, in every meeting that I've been into, like that, week-long meeting, week-long of camp, whatever, there comes a road where God really wants to blow things off the top, so to speak. But it will mean getting down to the very, very nitty-gritty in our lives. It's why at the beginning of the week, I believe that God led me to teach on the revival and preach on the revival of teachability. To prepare our hearts for that God could get anywhere that He wants to in our lives. And I am convinced that we as Christians do not do a very good job of daily confession of our sins. And we allow things to grow, and we allow things to build up, and we allow things to become high places. And I haven't even dealt with all of them in the message. I haven't dealt with the spirit sins that we all struggle with. I haven't dealt with all of the flesh sins. I haven't dealt with all the pride of life sins. But what's dangerous that I see in Scripture is that Israel was content to go so far for God. But don't touch my high place. And folks, if you leave here not addressing your high place, you will not leave with a clear heart. You will not leave with peace in your heart. You will leave with a reputation. Monday night, he came, she came, and they asked me for a teachable spirit. And I gave them a teachable spirit. And they learned about developing the habit of Bible reading day and night for Brother Sorensen. And couples before marriage learned the number of points that Brother Armacost gave out. They even wrote it down. But it would be sad to the Lord that gave His all for us to say, but they didn't remove or tear down the high place. They didn't rip out the high place. I want to encourage you tonight, deal with your high place radically. Radically. The Bible says He removed the high places and break the images. He didn't go store them somewhere else so that they could come back out again. He cut down the groves. He break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. My friend, He dealt with them radically. We must deal with the high places in our lives radically. What does it mean, preacher? It means becoming completely honest. I have a high place, Lord, in my life. Lord, an area of compromise that I am allowing to satisfy myself or others. God, I have a secret place in my life. I have another master. God, anytime I have time, I go to this master regularly. I serve it. It owns part of me. God, one of the things that's coming true in my life is I don't hear Your voice like I've heard it in the past or watch it. I never hear God's voice. I'm convinced there are young people in this room, you may have never heard God's voice in your life. I remember a girl in our youth group a couple years ago went to camp. I was praying, God, would You speak to her? I asked her one time, I said, I know you've confessed Christ as your Savior. I said, have you ever heard God speak to you? She looked at me in the eye. She didn't look at me with rebellion. But she looked at me like I was speaking a foreign language. She said, I never heard God speak to me in my life. You know what God did that week? God spoke to her. You know what she came back and told me? She said, preacher, I know you asked me about that. I just want you to know I really did hear from God. God's real. God talked to me. My friend, a high place will erase that. You won't get that from God if there's a high place erected, or you've erected maybe more than one high place. Deal with it radically. You have to deal with it. You may need to get help. Usually high places are things that we need accountability in our lives about because they have existed. They've been there for a while. Deal with it radically. Number two, deal with it thoroughly. Make no provision for your high place. If entertainment is a high place in your life, young people, I want to help you tonight. Then block off the apps where you go to watch it all. Trying to help you. Trying to get us in line. Man, I want to serve God with all my heart, and I love God more than I love any other thing. I'm not saying you won't sit down with your family at a time together and sit down and we might watch an old Rifleman or something. But I'm telling you, Hollywood today has no business taking up all your time.
Amen.
I'm just being honest, folks. In Independent Baptist, we are giving into it. Inch by inch, we're giving into it. Cut some of that stuff out. Say, God, you mean more to me. This is nothing to give up for you compared to what you gave up for me. Deal thoroughly, deal radically. And lastly, deal finally. Deal finally. Don't let it go on beyond tonight. You want to leave clean? You want to leave with victory? You want to leave changed? You want to live with freedom? You want to live with, man, my heart is clear. Man, everything that God talked to me about this week, I just submitted to God. I just put myself in God's hands and said, God, purge me, clean me. God, use me. Man, you put yourself in that place. I'm telling you, God's going to use you. God's going to use you. I remember a time when my father-in-law was telling me a story about a high place that he had built up. And God helped him to destroy it. He dealt with it radically. He dealt with it thoroughly. He dealt with it finally. And I'm so glad he did. He shares with me how he's able to help others with that same high place and help them to overcome it and relate and be able to say, I've been there. It can be removed. It can be broken down. It can be broke into pieces. Dear Christian, don't be convinced tonight that it can't be. There is a powerful God. If you will become honest, if you will submit, young people, parents tonight, older folks, listen, anybody can erect a high place. May God help you to tear down the high place. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed tonight.